Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, as always, we begin our prayer asking for pardon for our sins. And especially now, in this season of Lent, in this year of mercy, we beg your mercy. Forgive us our many sins. You died for us. Help us to be sorry and to beg you for mercy, to forgive us. And then we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. And this time of prayer will be in the first place, this meditation that we do in your presence, listening to you. It will also be this time of prayer which is Lent, this time in which we accompany you in your 40 days of prayer and fasting before beginning your public life. You prayed. You prayed to the Father with all of that earnestness. And you fasted. You did penance. And then you were tempted, as we are. And you overcame those temptations to show us that by prayer and fasting, we too can always overcome the temptations that come our way, that the devil puts in our path, knowing that you give us sufficient grace to overcome them. As you said to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. We take heart from your 40 days, from your overcoming those temptations. And we see here the need for Lent, of living Lent well, because we sin so often. And we need to make up for our sins, to show you that we are truly sorry, to shorten our time in purgatory. Help us to live this season well. And in Lent, we accompany you on the way to the resurrection. But the way to the resurrection of necessity passes over Calvary, passes over your suffering and death, your sacrifice out of love for us. And our way to the resurrection, to our resurrection at Easter time, and especially our resurrection when we die, to eternal life, which we desperately want. And Lent is a good help along that way. You are the way. You said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you invited us along that way of sacrifice. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Daily. All year. And now, especially in Lent, in a bigger way. To follow you along that way of self-denial, of self-giving, of sacrifice, so that we can come to our resurrection. And when we think of Easter and the resurrection, we think of joy, of the Alleluia. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. But we know by experience we don't have to wait until Easter to experience the joy of sacrifice. We know that when we live Lent well, when we come to the end of a day and examine our conscience and see that today, yes, it has been lived well. We have been generous in our prayer, in our fasting and self-denial, in our self-giving to others, that almsgiving or charity. We are happy. And conversely, when we don't live what we had determined, we are unhappy. We are sad because we have not been able to live up to those simple resolutions that we made. Help us to live up to them so that we always find that joy that comes every day. Help us to find joy by our self-giving, as you gave us the joy of redemption by your self-giving on the cross. Let us read some words from an early father of the Church, Pope St. Leo the Great, in the middle of the 5th century, commenting on Lent. He says, "Certainly it is true that the water of rebirth, baptism of course, initially brings about our new life of grace. But for us all, it remains necessary to struggle every day against the rust of our earthly nature." And let us pause to consider what he has just said. To struggle every day against the rust of our earthly nature, the rust of the effects of original sin in us, that constant tendency to pride, to vanity, to selfishness, to laziness, to self-indulgence, the rust of our earthly nature. And we know that if we struggle against these tendencies, we have the ascendancy, we have dominion over ourselves. And if we don't struggle, the laziness gets stronger, the self-indulgence gets stronger, the pride gets stronger. So that we must always be struggling against this rust, against these tendencies that lead us astray. St. Leo goes on, "Whatever steps forward we make, there is not one of us who is not always bound to do better." And Lord, as we begin Lent, and perhaps we think our spiritual life is in order, we are doing well, we should listen to St. Leo. There is not one of us who is not always bound to do better. We can all do better, and we know that. If we make the effort now from the beginning of Lent throughout Lent, we will be closer to you at the end of Lent. We will do better. St. Leo goes on, "All of us must strive hard, and so on Easter Day, no one should remain bound by the vices of his former nature." Yes, we will still have those tendencies, those vices, towards all of the effects of original sin, but we will not be bound by them. We will hold them in subjection. And so, dearly beloved, what every Christian should always be doing must now be performed more earnestly and more devoutly. That same struggle that we make throughout the year, we make now more earnestly and more devoutly. These 40 days instituted by the apostles should be given over to fasting, which means not simply a reduction in our food, but the elimination of our evil habits. And he says, instituted by the apostles, these 40 days. Indeed, Lent began in the very early church. And perhaps it was because the apostles encouraged Christians to prepare for the resurrection of Christ by 40 days of penance and prayer. And St. Leo says, they should be given over to fasting, which means not simply a reduction in our food, which in some sense comes readily, but the elimination of our evil habits, especially that. The sins that come from those habits, those sins of pride, of vanity, of selfishness, of self-indulgence, of laziness. Lord, help us to eliminate our evil habits. Pope Leo goes on, to these sensible and holy fasts, we should link almsgiving, which under the one name of mercy covers a multitude of praiseworthy deeds of charity. Mercy, deeds of charity, of mercy, of self-giving to others. Thus, he concludes, all the faithful, even though unequal to one another in their worldly possessions, should be equal in the drive of their spiritual lives. We cannot all be equal in our worldly possessions, but we can be equal in the drive of our spiritual lives. And Lord, help us, please, in Lent, to make this Lent a special one, a very good one, a generous one of self-giving to you, of following you on the way of the cross to the resurrection. And we can read, too, some words of St. Peter Chrysologus, another early father of the Church. He speaks of the three focuses of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And Lord, you were the one that put those three together in your Sermon on the Mount. We find them in St. Matthew's Gospel in the 6th chapter. And you say, when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then you go on to consider prayer. And when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then fasting. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You are encouraging us to practice those three acts, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and to do it in such a way, insofar as possible, that others don't notice it. We're doing them for you, not to get praise of men. And so St. Peter Chrysologus says, there are three things, brethren, three, through which faith stands firm, devotion abides, and virtue endures: prayer, fasting, and mercy. What prayer knocks for upon a door, fasting successfully begs, and mercy receives. Prayer, fasting, and mercy. These three are a unit. They give life to one another. For fasting is the soul of prayer, and mercy is the life of fasting. Let no one cut these three apart. They are inseparable. We need prayer, of course, but we need fasting. And when we pray, fasting successfully begs from God what we are asking, and mercy, all of those acts of kindness, receives. St. Peter goes on, if a man has only one of them, or if he does not have them all simultaneously, he has nothing. Therefore, he who prays should also fast, and he who fasts should also be merciful. He who wants to be heard when he petitions, and that is ourselves petitioning God, should hear another who petitions him. Lord, we want to be heard by you. Let us hear our family members, our spouse, our children, relatives who are asking us for time, for sympathy, for whatever. Let us listen to them and attend to their needs in those works of mercy. He who wants to be heard when he petitions should hear another who petitions him. He who does not close his own ear to a suppliant opens God's ear to himself. If we are responsive to those who ask us for things, Lord, you will be responsive and answer our prayers. The fasting man should realize what fasting is. If anyone wants God to perceive that he is hungry, and we are asking, Lord, not necessarily for food, but for grace, for virtues when we are struggling to live them, for your own word that guides us through life. If we are hungry and we want you to perceive that we are hungry, St. Peter says he should himself take notice of the hungry, of those around him who are in need and who beg him for help. If he hopes for mercy, and Lord, we hope for mercy from you, the forgiveness of our sins especially, he should show mercy himself. If he desires fatherly kindness, he should display it first. And we can all ask, do I display fatherly, motherly, human kindness, which I beg from God? But Lord, help me to show it first to others. He who wishes someone to make an offering to him should make an offering himself. He is an unworthy petitioner who demands for himself what he refuses to another. Lord, help us to listen to these very saving words of St. Peter Chrysologus, that we never separate prayer, fasting, and mercy. And how can we live them now in Lent? Let us consider each one of those three focuses as if they were a three-course meal. And on the menu for each course is a number of possible ways of living, and that we choose something from each course. We may choose more than one item on the menu for each course, but at least one, so we keep prayer, fasting, and mercy together. What can we do in the way of prayer? We can look at our daily plan of prayers, from our morning prayers to our night prayers, passing through perhaps Holy Mass, mental prayer, the Rosary, spiritual reading, the Angelus, grace before and after meals. How faithful am I to this plan? I make the plan, but do I live it every day? Perhaps the resolution for Lent will be to make the effort to live every one of those types of prayer every day. If we are faithful to our plan, we can ask then, but what is the quality of my Mass, of my prayer, of my reading, my Rosary? And we can increase the quality. If we don't attend Mass during the week, we might make the resolution of trying to go at least one more time, perhaps on Fridays, or twice, or three times, or every day if we can. If we go to Mass on weekdays, we will see so many people in every parish, far more in Lent than in other times of the year. And it helps those souls. Lord, what a great blessing it would be for us if we were able to go every day, or at least some days during the week, to pray, to hear your word in the readings, the homily which gives us some practical advice, and above all, to receive you in Holy Communion. Another possibility in the area of prayer would be to meditate during this month on your Passion and Death, choosing one of the four Gospel accounts of the Passion, making our way through it very slowly, reading a few lines, and then considering them in prayer. And we see there how much you love us, and we are inclined to love you more, to be more generous in our Lenten discipline. We might also go to the Stations of the Cross in our parish, or do them on our own. Many parishes have weekly Stations of the Cross during Lent, and is a beautiful devotion where, Lord, we accompany you on the way to Calvary and those traditional stations that began in Jerusalem when the pilgrims would go there from Europe and follow you along the stations that were marked out, and then it spread around the world. And to go to confession more often. If we haven't been for some time, that we go now during Lent, and that we make the resolution to go frequently, regularly, at least once a month, to this great sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of joy. And then we come to the second course of the meal, which ironically is fasting. But fortunately, it doesn't consist in eating nothing. It consists in reducing perhaps our intake of food, cutting down on all of those creature comforts, those enjoyments, those pleasures that we have in life, to reduce one or another of them. We could eat less in general. We could live that fast that the church lived years ago, where we live it today on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, still eating three meals if we want, but breakfast and lunch should not add up to the total amount of food that we take in at dinner, and then eat nothing between meals. That is not difficult. And then, at least in that minimal sense that the church demands, we are living the fast every day of Lent, remembering, of course, that Sundays are not counted in the 40 days. Sundays are always a little Easter, a day of rejoicing. And then we may choose to give up one or another of the foods that we like especially. Some people give up sweets after the main meal, eating fruit or other things instead. Some give up chocolate, ice cream, soft drinks. Some food that we especially like that now we give up in Lent. Many people give up drinking alcohol, and it would do us so much good to cut down on that. We could go without putting salt on foods that really need it, or sugar, not put butter or margarine on our toast. And then those other enjoyments. Many people give up listening to the radio in the car, or at home. Some give up television altogether. Some give up an activity that they especially like, but they say, I'll go without it during Lent as a sacrifice. It's a beautiful sacrifice to give up any of these things that we like, that we enjoy, and that are perfectly legitimate. But now, for love of God, we give them up in Lent. And let us not forget either the many, many poor people, including millions of refugees and displaced persons because of wars in their country, who never have enough to eat, who never have the enjoyments that we take for granted. And when we deny ourselves in those areas, we can do it in solidarity with those millions of people. And then we come to the third area, almsgiving, charity, works of mercy. Lord, you have been so merciful to us. Help us to be merciful to others. And as those fathers of the church said, if we want to obtain mercy, let us first show mercy to others. And Lord, you said that first. And what can we do in this area of mercy? We can give ourselves more in the family to begin with. We can offer to help with the meal, for example. Instead of waiting to be asked and then resisting, we can offer to help. In all of these ways, and by helping, we are helping to feed the hungry, one of the works of mercy, to give drink to the thirsty. We can help a younger brother or sister or one of our children to get dressed, and we are clothing the naked. We can do so many things at home to be more generous, to be kind and cheerful when we do them, not to complain that someone has asked us to do something that we don't feel like doing it. Lord, you didn't feel like carrying the cross either, but you did that for love of us. Help us to pick up our crosses, these little things that we do around the house, in the family, and that will make us more united with you. The effort to smile, to be kind, especially when we are tired or upset, instead of being angry, perhaps losing our temper, expressing hatred, desire of revenge, complaining. Help us to live these works of mercy, of simply being kind, of bearing wrongs patiently, of forgiving injuries. We can show kindness at our workplace. There might be people there who ask us for advice, for help in doing something, and instead of brushing them off, we can attend to their needs, as we do at home with our family members. A younger member of the family comes and asks for help with their homework, or they just want to talk about what happened at school. And we give them that time. Perhaps we were busy with something else. We were watching television. We were reading the newspaper, reading our book, and they come, and we put down our book and the newspaper, and we turn off the television and say, "Tell me, what is it?" That we give them that time. It's a great work of mercy. And we don't have to go around the world to find the poor. The poor you have always with us, Lord, you said, and we have the poor in various ways in our own home. And then we think of all of those people who are alone, perhaps, and we go and visit them. We phone them to ask how they are. We send them a text message, a card, or a letter, and it is so much appreciated. We go to visit people who are in hospital, in a retirement village, in a nursing home, confined to their home, and that visit makes their day. They are so grateful that we thought of them. We could do this especially now in Lent, perhaps trying to visit someone every week. And then, above all, helping souls to come closer to God. There are so many souls so far from God. And Lord, they need us to find you and help us to see who they are. We all know them. They may be in our families, people who haven't been to Mass for years, who haven't been to the Sacrament of Penance. And we can invite them. "Would you like to come with me to Mass on Easter Sunday or this Sunday? Would you like to come to confession? I am going." And when we help someone to come to confession, especially after a long time, and we see the joy with which they emerge from that confessional, we share in that joy. We are helping somebody to find God. And this is the most important work of mercy we can do for them, to bring them back to God, to bring them back to grace, to bring them back to the way that leads to heaven. So many ways we can live Lent. We finish our prayer going to Mary, our mother. And Mary, you showed us how to live all of these three great focuses of Lent. Prayer, always in prayer, like a good Jewess, aware of the action of God the Father in the life of his people. And when the angel appeared to you, so many artists have depicted you in prayer, sometimes kneeling at a prie-dieu. Mary, help us to pray more and better during this time of Lent. You knew about hardship, sacrifice. You knew it in Bethlehem. You knew it in the flight into Egypt and your stay in Egypt. You knew it in Nazareth, where you lived the life of a poor woman. You knew it at Calvary, where you suffered to accompany Jesus. Help us not to be afraid to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. And what an example you give us of mercy, of almsgiving, of charity. Immediately upon receiving your annunciation of your becoming the Mother of God, your first thought is your aging kinswoman, Elizabeth, and you leave immediately and spend 3 months helping her when you yourself are carrying Jesus. You didn't think of yourself, you thought of Elizabeth, and you didn't only think of her, you went to help her. Your mercy at Cana, that thoughtfulness for the wedding couple, embarrassed by the fact that the wine had run out. And you not only think of them and feel sorry for them, you ask Jesus and he does the miracle. And what mercy at Calvary, to accompany Jesus, to accompany your very sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, the other holy women, St. John, the young apostle. You are there comforting them, showing them mercy, sharing in the passion of your divine Son. Mary, help us to live Lent well, to accompany Jesus on the way to Calvary, on the way to the resurrection, by our own self-giving, by our own sacrifice. Help us to live well our life of prayer, our life of fasting, our life of mercy. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.